Hi, y'all. It's Sherry from Savvy Smart Solutions. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the chapters we are in right now, closer to the end of my class in IT economics or IT management. And I guess what we're going to talk about is the aspects of economics of information technology, the productivity paradox. I had to look that word up because I kind of get a little confused sometimes. Parity, paradox, paradoxically. What does that mean? So I looked it up. I got an answer. And it's obviously just, it's simply stated a contradictory of features or qualities. Combines contradictory features or qualities. So I think what it means there is how IT increases productivity, but it also removes humans. So yeah, it helps an organization work faster and things become more productive, but people have to leave or be reassigned to other jobs. So productivity increases, but you have to change the way that you look at things. So describe approaches for evaluating IT investment and explain why it is difficult to do so. That's easy. I mean, that's super easy. You don't know what you need until you start shopping. I think you can easily say that. Once you get into the field of IT or technology, you realize I don't know what I'm going to do until I assess and look at what you currently have with an IT mindset of what a new system could do for you. And not just a system that's already built and out of the box, because those have to be customized to fit you and you have to change to fit them. So we don't know until we look at how you do things and how it changes the way that you do things and how systems can change to do things the way that you want to do them and to make life easier and make your life more enjoyable and to use it the best as possible. So it's easy to just go out and buy a computer and say, I know how much that investment is worth. Out of the box, $250, $1,000, I'm online. No, actually it's not, because you have to look at it from, that's just the price of the device. You don't know what you're investing in, because now you've opened up this whole world called the internet. And now you just invested in computing potential, which is efficiency, automation, communication, and just doing things way easier, way faster, which takes a little time at first to learn the software. But you don't just buy a PC and go home and say, I'm going to automate my banking process. It's not going to cost me a single dollar more. In some cases, that is true with online banking. But it's not often that you just buy a PC out of the box and you don't invest additional money into things and gadgets that work with it, like my new USB rechargeable motion detector lights, or my USB humidifier, or my USB connected video recorder, or my new microphone, or my MP3 player that I no longer need, that I invested in, that I no longer really need, because now I have Bluetooth that streams throughout my house, which is better because I can get it in my car, on my smartphone, and through my television device. So see how the whole investing in IT changes along the way as technology changes. So when something new comes out in the marketplace, like an MP3 player, people seem to have jumped on board, jumped right in. Go buy it. Go buy one for every family member. Just like the PC world. The internet's here. Let's all go buy a PC for our house without letting the market settle down and letting people test it out and developers work with it and engineers say, well, maybe that's not the best product. Maybe we can come out with something better that integrates with everything, like the smartphone. It took a few years to do that, but it happened. I couldn't have lived without an MP3 player and waited for the smartphone. But somewhere along the way, IT's got to get smarter rather than piecemealing and putting things out part by part. Like, here's something for music. Here's something for talking on the phone. Here's a watch that'll track your steps and help you exercise. And here's some special headphones that you can talk on your phone, but doesn't really work when you want to go out and connect remotely to your LAN and local area network and play music or stream music somewhere else or do something entirely different, like talk on the phone using a watch instead of a phone. So you don't know what you're investing in until you look at what's out there, and then you look at what's out there and you can't just make quick snap decisions, because if you don't really know what's up and coming, what's about to hit the marketplace or potential and what IT should do. Like, when I was a kid, I had a watch, and that watch was a calculator. And, you know, as a kid, I'd talk into it. Hey, this would be a great phone. Well, as a kid, if someone would have listened, in the 1980s, we would have had that technology, right? Well, we had to wait until the 2000s for that to come out. God knows why. I have no idea why. And nobody would ever credit me with the idea of using a phone or a watch as a phone, because I was just a little kid. And that's not cool, you know? We shouldn't have had to wait that long for that technology, but that's IT. We're not in the driver's seat. Although I'm trying very hard to get in the driver's seat and steer the industry in the right direction, because a good shopper, an informed shopper, needs to be able to look at all the possible devices and the way that they work together. And not just say, I like that because it's white and it matches that other device and it looks real good on me. It'll be trendy and cool. But because there's so much more that goes into it than looking cool and things really sounding sweet in your ear. So, excuse me, evaluating an IT investment, I think that explains why it's difficult to do that, because you don't know what you need or want until you see it in the works, until you see it used, until you know how to use it yourself, and also until it's available and affordable. My idea of the smartphone telephone watch was a tracking device to make sure you knew where I was going so I didn't get stolen. That wasn't my idea, but could have been worked in easily. If that would have happened in the 80s, we would be far more advanced than we are today, and we wouldn't have had to waste 20 years. Yeah, 20 years on trying to come up with a Fitbit, right? Or something a little more universal that, you know, maybe my watch could manage my television remote, or maybe I could just get one console that manages everything and I decide on a weekly basis what goes into my watch and what I can and can't do from each device and purchase it as a pack, as an entertainment system, or maybe, yeah, little devices along the way for Christmas and all those cool things. But if programmers and engineers keep, and whatever you want to call them, geniuses or pioneers or whoever, if they keep doing this one by one, introducing the Fitbit like it's God's gift to women in the world, and spend so much time on that, when the tech person just stands back and goes, dude, you're not doing anything for the industry that's not already available on a phone. So it needs like a committee to sit down and say, okay, what do we have in the marketplace? How bad are we screwing up the earth and other planets because we don't have a good recycling strategy? We don't have a good integration strategy. Everything's all piecemeal. Now they're coming out with home automation systems, and they're still selling these little add-on devices. And you have to really shop and find the one where you don't need all that crap. You know, you can just install or just plug in the light bulb and get the app. There you go. Hey, genius. But some companies are still out there allowed to put crap into the marketplace. And that's just not right. It's like You get a different mindset when you walk into a pet store and you go, holy shit, there are 45 different brands of pet food. Really? Like, really? And there's one, you know, 10 miles from each other throughout a city. And you just go, really? People have pet stores where they will spend a long time trying to decide on the best pet brand and product, and we have 30 different choices. I'm all about business opportunities, but I'm also about, you know, let's be a little more efficient and not spend so much time feeding animals and coming up with different brand names and formulas in that competitive marketplace. But I can't, it's hard to explain that when you find, when you walk into a store with those kind of eyes where you go, oh my God, people are overdoing it. This is really ridiculous. And it just kind of makes you go, we're not over consuming. We're overdoing it big time in the consumerism area. And then, you know, like the new dog owner thinks, I got to have the top of the line, the best of the best. And then the conversations with neighbors start, oh, if you don't do this for it, they're going to die. And if you don't get that shot, they're going to die. And people start threatening with death. And it's just sick because you got to stand back and go, you know what? I'm not Jenny Garth. She's totally against immunizations, or at least she was. She might have changed her mind by now. I don't know. But I got a new dog and I'm like, I'm not going to be part of the mainstream on this. You know, you got to have 5 different shots at different intervals and you have to feed the dog this and that at a certain time and you can't give them chocolate and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to step back and be different. And if my dog dies, then my dog dies. I don't think she will. She's been great so far. She eats chocolate. Yeah. She's human food. She comes home every day. She runs without a leash. She doesn't have any shots, has no sickness. She got sick a little bit once and I gave her a little bit of medication, but she was fine. So half the crap that's out there in the marketplace, just like IT and everywhere else, it's overdone. And now as consumers and developers, we're forced to program and manage around that. And as buyers, we have to manage and sift through all that shit to find the best thing. And half the time we don't really even know what that means. Like, I want this new Wi-Fi enabled light system so I can reduce my electricity and use a universal remote to light my lights because it's more economical. It's going to save me tons of money on electricity. It connects to my internet, so I know exactly what devices that I have, when they're turned on. And I can control it throughout the house because it's kind of cool. You know, it's really cool, especially when you can dim it. You can automatically turn on your music. You can close the garage door from your kitchen or your back bedroom. You can do all sorts of things. You can kick on the coffee pot before you even go to bed. But then there's already that timer. So then you got to look at, oh, well, that already has that. If I just get up and walk and go push it, then I can do that. And then you have to start evaluating all the shit. And you go, is it really worth this? Can't I just get up and change the channel on the remote without the remote? No, that's not allowed anymore. You're not allowed to get up to change the channel. So, I mean, is technology going to go so far where you're not allowed to install a light switch anymore? It might. It certainly could. It certainly could. Because homeowners and people like me, women, I shouldn't even be allowed use a screwdriver and go through and touch my wiring. Nobody should if you don't have knowledge and expertise and at least the ability to go find the knowledge and try it out yourself. But that's how fires, yada, yada, yada. Okay, investment. That's why it's difficult. You don't know what you don't know until you go in and you start looking at it. I don't know that I can go in and effectively change a light switch and move wires around and connect it to a dimmer until I go in and look at it and evaluate my knowledge and understanding and bolster up the courage that I might cause a fire or get electrocuted and I can get over it and make it happen. IT's the same way. I don't know if I'm going to be able to automate 6 processes and reduce your human resources expenditures by 25% and reduce your paper spendings and enable customers to do much of the work for themselves, which they would prefer to do anyways because they know their information better than you do. I don't know until I go in and assess it, and that costs money. And I can't say I'm just going to go right in and implement a new system as soon as I arrive, because I have to learn and understand your business, because I can't just, nobody can just walk in and go, okay, oh, well, I worked at Kmart before, so I totally understand e-commerce and how the whole supply chain works, and I can completely revamp your entire system or bring you online and make you really IT efficient with physical security, the blue light special, internet marketing, and coordinate with your neighbors and partners and all your competitors to make sure we really knock it out of the park. Or shut you down entirely. See, it's just you don't know. Okay, so list and briefly describe the traditional and modern methods of justifying IT investment. So on the buyer then, I'm looking to invest in some products. It's either because someone has approached me or because I have heard there's something new out there from somebody else where I saw something else. So modern methods of justifying the investment. I'm going to guess and just say that the ends justifies the means to how we get there. Okay, in order to implement this software, we need to cut back or move money and save in this area in order to pay for something else later. Or we need to cut back on this thing or make X amount of extra dollars in order to pay for this new product. And simply stated, as a consumer, I'm going to reduce my clothing budget so that I can invest in technology, a smartphone or a smartwatch or USB light, a light system, so I can have a cool party where the lights change in my bedroom or my kitchen. So budget's not the only thing, but how do you justify the investment? Well, you look at what are you going to use it for? How long are you going to use it? Is it worth spending the money? Is it worth changing your old ways of I always spend my money on clothes, gas, and food, and so I have to change the way that I spend money so that I can invest in these other things? Or it just doesn't matter, I have all the money in the world and I can buy whatever the heck I want and I'm just gonna buy crap or buy good stuff and without even trying to justify it, because I'm one of those shoppers or buyers that just goes and buys the latest and greatest thing. So you don't really have a method for justifying an investment, because it's not really an investment. You're just buying something. When you invest in something, you buy it with the understanding that this is something that you are going to get into. This is going to benefit you. It is not something you're just going to put on your hand, look at, walk to work, check every once in a while. It's going to be a piece that's going to be with you for a long time. It's not something that you just go buy it off the shelf, consume it that evening, and yum, I love macaroni and cheese, and it's over. You know, it's technology is so different. Because if I, as a developer, have to go in and implement a system, or a company has bought one of my, wants one of my systems, I don't just build systems for anyone. I have to use another system and build on that system. So like Microsoft products, and I'm not an engineer that does it anymore. I don't work with software companies where I can just go do that anymore. So how do they justify their investment? They say, we have this new software, this is going to be great, and here's how it changes our business processes. We have to hire a team. But for you, Ms. Wilson, we need an independent consultant to look and oversee that from a third-party perspective, because we have our internal people that do it their way. We have the business that does it their way, and we need a third-party professional that can oversee it or review it from both angles and say, you guys are doing that, you know, that looks great, and they are being very honest and forthright, or it's a really great system and have you, you know, bring a third party perspective that they don't have. Because what happens is you get companies get stuck in their ways. Another company comes along and says, I've got something great that will solve those problems. And then along the way, they develop this relationship through the IT process. And they might not be able to center and stay centered on original objectives, goals of either implement this part of the system and that's how much I paid you for, or implement this part of the system, but with my limited perspective, because the company might not have full experience of what 5 different organizations have shown someone else or have shown that company, or just a lot of things go into it, especially when you look at nationwide systems. And I'm not talking about insurance products. I'm talking about systems that span across the United States. Traditional and modern methods of justifying an IT investment. You do a cost estimate and a needs analysis, and you say, do I need this? How much does it cost? What is it going to do for me? How is my business going to change? And what am I going to gain? And what am I going to lose? That's just the standard investment strategy or thoughts behind any kind of purchase. But with a car, it's a little different because you're investing in the car and you know you're going to pay a certain amount. You're going to gain, obviously, mobility. You're going to be able to get where you want to go. You're going to look great doing it. But, you know, the maintenance on it, you already know what it's going to cost you. It's obvious. It's clear and simple. But what's not so obvious are I guess that's a tough comparison just because maybe there aren't, maybe you can't compare an IT, a technology investment of an automobile to a computer system. But you can if you're in the marketplace to buy a vehicle and you buy one and the next year the automaker comes out with this new high-tech system because technology finally caught up and now is integrated and offering some really great connected systems with GPS, music, and all kinds of things that connect to your home network, your work network, and your other people to get you where you want to go faster. But now since you bought that other car, you're behind. You can't get it for another couple of years. So I think timing on that is one of the factors, important factors. Understand and describe the IT justification process via examples. Can I justify this purchase? Well, yeah, it's going to bring this to me. It's going to give this to me. I'm going to have that. It's worth the investment. It's going to be so good for my business and myself that I'm definitely going to invest in it because I can see the benefits. And if it doesn't offer me the benefits that I think I'm going to get, then I have to work my investment strategy and justify, find a new process, way to justify things because you were wrong. I don't know. I can't justify spending $200 a month with Microsoft solutions and systems just to work with Microsoft Azure and host an internet site because I've done a full cost benefit assessment on it. While the technology is nice, it does not work for a small business for just internet services because I don't have heavy databases. I don't have software development projects going on. I don't have very large team members that I have to manage or processes that I have to document and automate, and the tools that I already have meet my needs. Even though I want to stay up to date with Microsoft products, I want to be knowledgeable in my sales area and my business area so that I can evaluate and say a small business needs versus a medium-sized business with a very large database that has a lot of data management tasks that need to be automated or made more efficient, then I could justify spending and investing in a Microsoft Azure product, something greater than what we already have, like Office 365. So with those, that's sort of how you justify it, right? So I have to justify whether or not I'm going to buy a big product because cloud computing is so cool and so hot in the marketplace right now. But if you don't know what cloud computing really is and what it can do for you and how it can destroy you and hurt your business and make you spend lots and lots of money without even having a good result, you could get taken. A lot of companies actually do, and it's really sad. So I think that's like investment justifications. Like, how do you justify spending $250 a month for this product where you pay for data dependent upon how much you use and services dependent upon how much you use? It's the same scenario with the cell phone. I'm buying this awesome cell phone and I'm going to pay $75 a month, but I'm subject to overages in certain areas. And if I leave a certain area, the cost is going to skyrocket if I make calls during roaming periods. And then I get my bill and I'm in shock because I didn't plan for that and I didn't, I wasn't expecting that. That's currently how Microsoft products work, as far as the cloud system, this cloud service system. So there are risks there, new risks that weren't there before, showing you sort of that the cell phone industry has now merged over sort of the problems that they had now has now merged over into cloud computing systems, where it's sort of a not per minute rate, but even some data servers use that model, and it's really scary. So justifying that, you don't know until you go in and you do a test run. And the best thing that a Microsoft seller of those products can do for a company and organization is give it a few process and system test runs to see. But you can't estimate it and evaluate it that way until you can actually go in and look at business processes and look at databases and look at information, how it's done and how it's used and how it should be done and used before you go and invest in anything, because you look at that first and then you look at what technology is out there to fit the need and what skills do you have available that you can use to make it happen. Because you can't take an Oracle business team who works SAP products and go and buy a Microsoft solution and say, transform my business. I'll pay for the, you know, your Microsoft certified professionals and we'll get this done the right way. Or we'll use half and half just to see the two products work side by side. That's disastrous. Especially if those two products are supposed to work together. But they could, actually. Technology people are that smart. They could make them work together. But you can't just sit down and decide that in a week or two and say, I'm going to make this $1 million purchase, $75,000 purchase today. And this is what it's going to do exactly for your business. Because it's incremental. I mean, I could go in and say, I can turn on your, I can transform your business and automate processes and make your communications more efficient and create decision reports for you. But first I have to look and evaluate how you're doing things and making your decisions and what's important. So we have to look at not just business processes, but company goals and all that stuff. And the problem is when you start looking at this stuff, you kind of got to step back and you got to go, are we even doing business the right way? Because when you implement technology, that's when business processes have to change. And some don't, and they just develop around old mistakes. let me just put a Band-Aid around this and make it feel better till it goes away. Well, let's fix the injury and how it came to be and learn from that mistake so that we don't have to go through it again, and so that we know that we're not ever going to fall down like that again and need that same Band-Aid in a different place, because we learned our lesson the first time and we changed the way that we do things and we go play on the rocks or jump on out of airplanes. Same thing with business. We aren't hacked anymore because we learned about the holes that were in security, and we aren't any longer susceptible to data withholding, someone holding back critical data, which is just as damaging as somebody stealing critical data, and also just as damaging of having too much data and being just like a person in a trash bin, just completely surrounded by and exhausted by too much information, unable to get what they want and get where they want because there's either too much red tape, not enough red tape, somebody has the information and won't let it go, is overprotecting, underprotecting, and therefore it gets stolen and hurt, or no process at all, and it's just such a mess. And so you have to sort of go in and assess it. How does this work? What do we got to do? So IT investment, you can talk all you want and say, I can put $35,000 on it today. Well, you don't know what you don't know until I present it to you and I assess what you have, either in your hardware, software, and actual assets. But software and business processes are the critical components, because the persons sitting behind those machines, when they change the way that they do business, that's